Hello and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Security Testing, the podcast where we talk all things security testing. Today we're going to discuss building an internal penetration testing team, as in actually employing a pen tester into a business to start taking some of that work rather than relying purely on external consultancies. This has been a bit of a growing trend, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen in the last few years businesses trying to move a lot of that security testing function in-house, not necessarily just instead of relying on external consultancies, but also to supplement the fact that they've been moving a lot of tools and scanning technologies in-house as well and taking a lot of ownership for that.
Yeah, and how much do you think this has got to do with just the requirements to perform testing just increasing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the requirements to perform testing are increasing, but also the requirements for the testing to be agile, I think, is the main thing, right? The idea that at the drop of a hat, you might need somebody to step in to do a small little test at the end of a sprint or before a major release it's not something that I think consultancies have traditionally been particularly good at catering for, and businesses who are recognising the value in the manual testing, I guess, are therefore being sort of forced into having to build this function inside their business.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, this is kind of the intersection as well of compliance and you know, having a strong security appetite, right, is that a lot of these compliance frameworks, as we've discussed on this podcast many times, require things like an annual security assessment, which probably needs to be done by an independent company, probably needs to be done under Crest guidance or whatever the local jurisdiction is for requiring those tests. But beyond that, once we start talking about, okay, I'm a CISO and I'm concerned about the introduction of business logic flaws more frequently or whatever reason you have for doing testing, we're not bound by the same constraints of a compliance situation.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, actually. I was having a good conversation on one of these, you know, InfoSec WhatsApp group chats the other day where somebody was asking about whether there was a certified penetration test and whether a company could be sort of certified through penetration testing. And we got onto our conversations about the different motivations behind pen tests and what you can get out of them. And they were saying, you know, if you want to produce a report that a customer, it'll help you through a procurement process with a customer, it's probably worth going to, for example, a Crest registered business and getting that report. But what a lot of organizations are doing is doing that for those purposes and then just doing that for those purposes and seeking alternate means of actually finding the vulnerabilities to contribute towards their management system and to actually contribute towards their sort of general vulnerability management.
Yeah, and I guess particularly with consultancies, we're into the realms of things like scoped projects. This is how box ticking exercises start, right? Is you know, okay, oh, you want to add in that part of the system? Okay, yeah, that's going to be another £3,000. And yeah, oh, you want to put the supporting infrastructure in scope? Well, that's going to be another £3,000 or whatever it comes to. I guess is there typically less of that with an internal pen testing team?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's the you're not paying for all of the overheads that come with running a consultancy, but more than that, you're working with the same person or people throughout the year, so you don't end up exhausting time and effort with them onboarding, learning about the platforms and the infrastructure, how it's all stacked together, where to go for help and resources. You know, if you've got somebody who's using the same system day in, day out, and deeply knows it, deeply understands it, obviously you're going to get massive, massive efficiency gains when compared to bringing in a different face every 6 months or 12 months or whatever else.
So where is that point then? So, you know, we've established some of the reasons for why you might want internal pen testers. When would you think a business would typically have to start thinking about this?
It's a tricky one because it depends a lot on the business, right? If you're in the financial services sector, for example, you're probably going to have this mandate much, much earlier than if you're a small little legal startup or something of that nature. I think higher, as the cadence of change starts to increase and you are pumping out new features at a rate that you couldn't reasonably manage by getting an external agency to be able to assess them, you know, at the point where you're nervous that you could have vulnerabilities being introduced into your system through a change in it, and they're not going to be found for 9 or 10 months before your next test comes around, that's probably the time that I'd start looking at whether or not you can move at least some of your testing function in-house.
And I guess, as an abridged to that question, does this have to be a full-time role, or have the kind of people that can be internal pen testers, are they multi-skilled enough to be able to pick up other security tasks?
Well, I think it can be a varied role. You know, I've seen a lot of people, for example, it's not atypical to get SOC analysts to look at vulnerability scans, for example, or to do some web app testing. I think when you start to get into some of the more sophisticated and complex tests, there's merit to having somebody who is a specialist, but having a sort of generalist security practitioner, security engineer, who can lend a hand and interpret some scan results and maybe test for some of the more sort of typical and common vulnerabilities, there's a lot of merit in
but we
that.
We are seeing a number of the security tools on the market, not going to mention which ones, often you almost need to be a pen tester to run them at times, right? So I guess having internal pen testers does give you additional capability to maybe leverage some of the more advanced tools that you maybe wouldn't have been able to leverage with, for example, a security engineering team.
You do, but it's really tricky, right? Because I think that there is, before you start bringing in people, it's my view you should start looking at the automation first. As you say, it is a bit of a catch-22 where a lot of the automation requires people who deeply understand it in order to run it. But I think there is some merit, depending on the business, in being able to maybe bring in some external consultancy to help set up that automation and those scanning in pipeline and all of that infrastructure that you will then bring in a person to help support. Whether that person ends up being a full-time pen tester will largely be dictated by the level of complexity to that automation, I think, and also by the level of demand for security testing inside your business. But yeah, I think that, to be fair, these tools are also getting a bit better, right? I mean, that yes, there are some tools that are getting more and more complex, especially when you start looking at some of the web application scanning technologies, for example. But user experience is starting to be considered as a relevant factor in security tools from what I've seen.
Yeah. And I guess just to segue into some of the industry logic, right? We get told this time and time again by inevitably people trying to shift pen testing or traditional pen testing, that a fresh set of eyes, you know, this whole theory about how if the same person keeps looking at something, they will miss things, that a fresh person would come in and see straight away. Right? Not here to dispute that theory at all. But it's not necessarily conducive with a better pen testing program out and out, right? Surely there's merit to understanding a system, right? More often than not, we're dealing with fairly complex system these days. People are doing things with APIs that we didn't think were possible 5 years ago, right? There's a level of understanding of a system you need to be able to even interact with it in the correct way. Where do you sit on this idea? Because naturally, an internal pen tester, you're not going to get a fresh set of eyes. You can't just rotate them out every 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people have cognitive biases. People have areas of expertise that mean that, you know, some people have an affinity for SQL injection and cross-site scripting. Some people have an affinity for business logic flaws and for complex identity and access management related issues. And therefore, naturally, those testers will lean more towards finding those kinds of things. But that is traded against the fact that the expertise is expertise. You know, you the more knowledge and depth of understanding you have on something, the more likely you are to be able to efficiently and effectively be able to find some of the more complex vulnerabilities. I think this is the hybrid approach is probably the way that I'd go about resolving that. You know, at the end of the day, a decent pen tester, internal or external, will probably find, you know, 80 to 95% of the same vulnerabilities as any other decent pen tester. So it's just about whether or not that 20 or less percent of vulnerabilities is enough of a concern for you to have to layer these capabilities, layer this internal and external testing on top of each other to be able to supplement it. I don't think that there is a matter of fact that swapping out a pen tester is or rotating pen testers around is going to be better than bringing in somebody externally. I think that it's, you know, I don't want to say diminishing returns, but it's there is only a small sacrifice that you have to make, whichever choice you end up making.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I guess, you know, we've covered why you should do it and when you should start thinking about it and some of the common challenges we'd expect you to have to think about and answer internally. But the podcast's called How to Build an Internal Security Testing Team. So once we've made all the decisions, we've got our budget signed off, where do you start? I know you recently worked on a project where you actually helped a business hire their first internal pen tester. You know, how did that go? And what do you know? What have you learned about this process?
Well, I mean, with any team building exercise, obviously the first thing you have to do is capture the requirements, right? You have to actually understand exactly what it is you're hoping that person to do, because you can go out and you can hire the best expert in reverse engineering and buffer overflows, but if all you need to do is make sure that they're finding basic cross-site scripting vulnerabilities in a web application, then you probably hired the wrong person, even if they are brilliant technically. The next thing that, and I touched on this earlier, is I'm a big advocate for not hiring people if you can automate something, and automating as much as you possibly can in the process, so that when the person comes in, they're only adding value in the places that a person can actually add value. Look at scanning technologies, look at process improvements, look at ways that you can, you know, actually build DevSecOps, right? And make sure that is addressed before expecting a person to come in, because otherwise they're going to be, otherwise there's going to be an endless amount of work and there's going to be a limited amount of value that they can end up providing. But yeah, the recruitment process for the tester for a company that I was supporting a little while ago was interesting, because they still intend to do external testing, right? They've got a core set of critical applications for which they would like lots and lots of expertise and independent verification on. But they've also got hundreds of applications that they can't quite justify the business reason to be able to get somebody externally to test, but they still have concerns, and they still would like somebody to be coming in and supporting those on a more continuous basis. So I interviewed three candidates for them, and they're all very, very different candidates. One was a bug bounty hunter. One was an experienced, two were experienced pen testers. But one of them, the one that stuck out to me the most, was not necessarily just standing out to me because they had the technical capabilities that meant that they could deliver on the kinds of testing that was being demanded for, but also because they were so good at being able to communicate that to the internal teams that they'd then be working with. And it's even more important when you're building an internal team than when you're building an external team, I think, that you can talk to those relevant stakeholders, that you can sit down and address with a developer directly where they might be able to make the improvements, or with a project manager, or with an executive within the business. Because well, an external person can come in and call somebody's baby ugly and drop it at the end of the day, and that team sort of then has to deal with it. Not that I advocate that, but it is kind of the reality of how a lot of these relationships work. A pen tester who's inside the business has to actually maintain really, really good relationships with all of the various different teams, and has to earn their respect and actually be a part of that community in the long term.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I guess, you know, we've hired these people, come up with a reason to hire them, whatever. But pen testing companies notoriously have a lot of processes, right? There are processes, there are SLAs in place. We need to get reports out the door. We need to QA those reports. We need to schedule stuff properly. Make sure, you know, even internally, if you turn around and say, I want you to test that app and then I want you to test that app, but you've got no idea how long it's going to take on each one, how are you going to manage that person effectively, manage their time, whatever. What kind of processes do you think you need to hold on to if you're hiring an internal pen tester, if any? And which ones can maybe be relaxed slightly?
I think it depends how you're addressing the pen testing, right? If that person is still doing project work in the way that a traditional external consultancy might do pen testing, i.e., you know, this app's being released this week, we'd like you to test it start to finish and then move on to the next app and then the next app, then it probably makes sense to still do a scoping exercise and discuss this is the amount of time and maybe negotiate the amount of time that's going to be spent on something, define the features, define the functionality, define the threat model even, and then they can orchestrate the pen testing against those criteria to make sure that they're meeting it and make sure that you're managing their time effectively. But if you're going to be looking at a more continuous approach where effectively every time a minor update is pumped out, then that tester is looking at it, then you need to start looking at sort of ways to orchestrate that tester's time much, much more like you would orchestrate a typical agile development team's time. You know, maybe a ticketing system that says, okay, when this ticket reaches UAT and it's going to be functionally tested, that's also an opportunity for the tester to look at that ticket and say, this needs to be security tested, it needs to be tested for these things, and we're going to do that inside this SDLC. It really, I think, depends a lot on the business processes, but I'd certainly advocate more for that second one than that first one if what you're trying to do is bring the pen testing results forward and that's your main motivation for building that internal team.
Yeah, makes complete sense. Okay, I think we've probably covered that topic in enough detail. What would you say are the three big takeaways from this podcast if you'd like listeners to remember and understand?
I think that the first one is whether you're building an internal or an external team, there is value that people can provide, but you want to look at automation and orchestration before you start bringing people in so that you make sure you're not wasting time and effort on things that could be done in a much, much more efficient way. The second one is that relationship between your testing team and your development team or all of the various different stakeholders within your business is just as important as that technical competency and capability of the external person. And the third one is look at your business processes, look at your SDLC, and consider whether you actually do need to do pen testing in the conventional way, or consider whether or not actually there's a more comfortable and convenient way to be able to slot this testing in inside your existing processes.
Awesome. Right, well, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that episode, and we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks.
Bye now.